SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Oh boy.
And that's the best way to start the best hour of your day. It's officially underway. The gear is being flown around here. I will be out this afternoon buying hundreds of dollars of merchandise. We have a special occasion today. Why? The boys are back in town. We're going to let you know how New Orleans was. We're going to review the Super Bowl yesterday. Another Philadelphia Eagles World Championship. I want to start here, Kevin, too, right? Because the way it played out was much differently than the first Super Bowl championship the Eagles had. And that was one where you're on the edge of your seat right up to the end. The Eagles were down in the fourth quarter after having a lead, and you survived to beat Tom Brady. Yesterday was one of those games, and we'll start here. We're handicapping over the last 2 weeks, and sometimes my ideas change on, you know, how the game plan's going to go. But as you've known throughout the playoffs, Kevin, like specifically, let's even talk about Washington. As that week went on, like, ooh, they're going to face Washington, tough team. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, by Friday, I'm like, the Eagles are in. I'd be the only way the Eagles lose if they play their worst football game of the year, which means your team is getting after it. I had that same feeling against the Chiefs. And I told you multiple times in New Orleans, like, this is a really good chance where the Eagles smash the Kansas City Chiefs. And I had no opinion where the Chiefs could actually have done that in any circumstance to the Eagles. Picking final score for me, 31-20. It was a double-digit victory, and the 40-22 doesn't even do that game service. The Eagles absolutely shot out of a cannon, by far the better football team, Kevin, which is something we actually expected.
It sure is, DRS. It sure is. We hit a point in the year where it felt as if the only people who were seeing it clearly, I guess, were Eagle fans.
Hey.
You know, I take a lot of pride in being the most unbiased man in the history of sports media.
Only next to me, sure. Yeah.
But perhaps, you know, the extra eye on those Kelly Greens allowed things to open up. I picked them to win the Super Bowl before the year began. But that was not a, well, they're the best team in football, it's the best number. No, it was the best number. It was the best opportunity. I wanted an NFC team. They, for me, were the absolute best bet that you could make on the board. But then things turned. And it became abundantly clear to me that they were the best team in the National Football League. And yet people were still lagging behind. I remember for good old DRS, we would have fun here and there, jabs about the Detroit Lions. And then Cooper DeJean lifted up Derrick Henry, threw him on his back, and Donnie came in and said, Eagles are the best team in football. This season is different.
Yes.
And never looked back. And never looked back. But still, this wasn't a flock of people next to us. We heard about the Philadelphia Eagles offense being an issue. Donnie, do you know which team scored the most points in the history of a single NFL postseason?
Yeah. Your birds.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. This Eagles team, with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, Nick Sirianni at head coach, Saquon Barkley running the rock, and a great, and I mean great, offensive line. And it's one of those games you couldn't ask for more. There is a Jordan Davis. There is a Jordan Davis clip where he says it didn't have to be close. And I love that man. I mean, this whole group. Donnie, it didn't need to be close. The Eagles should have smashed this team, and that is exactly what they did, regardless of those Indiana-esque garbage time yards that even Mahomes pointed out meant nothing.
Yeah, and it's a couple guys in the chat box. Iran Shaw, and congratulations, gents. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Let's go. Whoop. Which is absolutely correct of what took place. And you're right about that. The handicaps made sense in effect because you knew that Kansas City always wins close games. So, again, why does it have to be close? which somebody says, oh, that's a homer pick, Donnie, 31-20. That's ridiculous. Like, no, I thought the game would go over, and it did because Mahomes got some junk touchdowns at the end. But the MO to beat the Chiefs is end them, beat them up. We saw it, and I think one of my exact words was like, remember that Kansas City Super Bowl going up against, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they just routed them on the field? Like, I had a feeling that it could end up that way, but never in a million years. Like, Vic Fangio. And there's so many levels to get to, and we only have 1 hour to do it today, but we'll be rehashing this all week long. But the simple fact, I was so upset 2 years ago where the Eagles had the best sack defense, arguably in the history of football, weren't able to sack anybody because they played on an ice skating rink. And all I hoped for was you got back on an even track, which you did in New Orleans, and set that defensive line loose on an average, at best, offensive line and let the chips fall. Kevin, the Eagles didn't blitz one time and buried Mahomes in the pocket time after time after time.
And this defensive line certainly doesn't have the statistical greatness of that defensive line. But man, again, the Eagles were there on a different level of business trip.
Yeah.
The Eagles are just a different level of football team.
Yep.
That's the reality of it. Man, again, it's pretty funny all the stuff I had to listen to. We get out to New Orleans and everybody's like, well, we know the Eagles are the better team. Oh, do we? Oh, we do now. Oh, I didn't. When did you guys pick that book up? That's interesting. All right. Cool. Good to know. What I think is fascinating, and Donnie, here's the thing, man. Because you said it, we only have an hour. The defensive line deserves a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. But all 15 rattled. Absolutely rattled. It turns out, sending out a bunch of tweets after the AFC title game, like you just won the Super Bowl, was a mistake. It turns out, worrying about wearing midnight green into the game was a bit of a mistake. People thought I was nuts. They thought it was nonsense. His head was somewhere completely different, man. He was trying to create all this other stuff and energy and legacy and boogeyman and yada. Nope. Nope. He looked like Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl. Mm. Yikes, brother. Woof.
Now let's like, how did you, because again, we're going to get to New Orleans and how we had fun, but we'll just cap off this first segment. Like, your day yesterday, obviously we're on the set, we're talking about, we're getting hype. And I remember going into the room to start, we're just talking, I was like, man, like, I'm not ready for the Super Bowl yet. It's going to hit once I get home. Had a great meal, went up and threw my lucky Kevin Walsh inspired Eagles hoodie on, said, you know what, we're going to watch this game. And I sat for 2 hours, and people out there, like, I'm sure your favorite team, or hopefully your favorite team, played in the Super Bowl. There's something special about the 2 hours before kickoff where it's all the stories, but it's like your team. All of the, let's just see Saquon get on the field. Let's just see Jalen get on the field. And the fact that the Eagles fans absolutely took over the Superdome for that game and made it a home game. And then the opening introductions, and it was Bradley Cooper on one side, Ham on the other. Just like the whole pageantry. I was so into it to start that game. And so excited and so nervous. And it was apparent right away, because the one feeling I was having was the Eagles should have way more points than they do at this point. But I kept falling back on the same instance, saying to myself, you know what? Eagles are so good on defense that they can actually afford mistakes here, because you saw nothing. Oh, don't worry. The Chiefs are coming here. And every time the Chiefs got the football, they were burying Mahomes further and further back. And I was like, am I going to have a laugh for a Super Bowl? And I sat around that whole night waiting for the Chiefs surge to come to give me a little bit of heart palpitations. But just the whole day Super Bowl buildup was phenomenal.
It was, man, it was a treat. You know, it was funny though, Donnie, as I spent a little bit of that lead up trying to figure out if I should hedge, because I try and be smart.
True. Yep.
And I had the right people around me. Don't hedge. Don't bother. Just let it go. And we let that dice roll, DRS, and they smashed those frauds. Oh, what a legendary team, man.
This game was 40-6 with 3 minutes to go. Good Lord. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now, we haven't been live on the air together. I did a show this morning, the early line. It was wonderful. I'm exhausted from last night. You could tell by my voice. I just did a three-hour TV show. Got one or more hour to go, and then it's eating lunch, it's buying merchandise, and it's resting my voice. But we had a blast in New Orleans all the way through. So I'm going to get to that. But I know you want to do the question now you had for me, or you want to wait on?
Yeah, because I think you're going to maybe do the New Orleans thing.
Yep.
There was a moment for me in this game that I will never, ever, ever, ever forget. Things end up a blur. Like, I don't know if you've gone back and watched, like, the 20-minute condensed version.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so did I. And, like, DRS, like, honestly, like, I was like, oh, this is where we kicked the field goal. Oh, no, that's where Hurts threw a pick. When did he throw a pick? Yes. That didn't even – there's one moment, and it is the Cooper DeJean pick six.
Yes.
Where – and I went back. I watched it on my Furbo. I ran around the house. And you can hear my voice cracking a little bit.
Yeah.
We are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I popped the wall in the house. I gave it a little pop. I thought I put a hole in it. It put a little dent. It's all good.
Uh-huh.
I knew in that moment the Eagles had won the Super Bowl. People were texting me like, man, are you going nuts? Like, later on, I'm like, honestly, it's been a lot calmer since about 7:50 in the house. Was there a moment in that game? Was that the moment for you in the game?
The moment where, because again, we're handicappers and you play the odds. And you understand that when you get a 17-point lead with a good football team, it's 91%, let's just say, in the bag. But you know, it's Patrick Mahomes, the Super Bowl is a long way to go. That was a moment, but it was almost like, because watching the Washington game, like you had that late sack by Nolan Smith where they're up like 18 points in the fourth quarter and the Eagles got the football back. You knew it was dead and over right there. When Avante Maddox knocked down that 4th-and-5 play, that was finally the moment where I sort of like exhaled. Even though the Cooper DeJean moment hit me like such a whirlwind where, again, the wife and the kid were in the basement with me and I was telling them, like, I kept saying, like, we're going to win the Super Bowl now. But I still had that, like, I know where this game might go, and they could get the ball back at the end of the half, before the half. They score a field goal. They get a touchdown. Now it's momentum because we watched that 2 years ago. Eagles had a double-digit lead at the half, clearly the better team. Mahomes can't walk off the field. He's Superman in the second half. So you had that long delay. But you know when it actually was that moment for me? Second half kickoff, Kevin. Eagles stone him right away. And I was like, that's it. That was my... It's official now. We got this. Because, you know, it's like hey, they have a 6-play drive, scored in 3 minutes, and they're back into it. But that was the moment where it's like, okay, this is done. The Eagles went, 7 minutes on the next drive plus, kicked the field goal, and it was done. But my moment was, I get so excited for the second half. I'm like, I saw this before. Just stop them from scoring right out of the gate. And when they did it, that was my moment where I was like, you know what? It's officially a wrap, and this second half is going to be so much fun to watch.
Yeah, again, maybe there's a world where within that DeJean celebration, I was ahead of my skis, but it's just my belief in this team, Donnie, they were never blowing a 17-0 lead.
I felt like I was going to pass out of that. Like my cheer sort of got like the interception. I was already like in the moment. And then when he scored a touchdown, I was like, you know, the kid's excited, the wife's excited. I'm like, I think I'm going to pass out right now. Like, honestly.
Oh, no. Like, they were looking at me like, are you all right?
Yeah.
Like, I was heavy breathing. Like, man, the Devonta touchdown. I legitimately ran up and down my block going crazy. Like, I horrified the dogs, the whole thing. But it's funny as I did see that it's same as you. I sent out a tweet. I said, look, KC defense offense can't look this terrible all game.
Yeah.
Anything other than a touchdown allowed on this opening drive would be a monster victory.
Yes.
And to get off the field like that was just so incredible. And I mean, what can you say, man? I truly believe it is an all-time great team. You know, I don't know. I don't have to compare it to like older teams, you know, 80s, 90s. I don't know. But recent memory, man, what this team brings to the table, and you think about some of the youth, Donnie, and look, man, you know, Super Bowls are not guaranteed. You never know what's going to be in front of you, and I'm only talking about this year's team, but man, I mean, Hurts is 26, Devonta's younger than that, if I'm not mistaken. Carter is in his what, third year.
Quinion Dejean in the NFL. Yep.
I mean, it's just, it's just like, you know, and again, Sirianni, right? I mean, he's a pretty young head coach, man. Yeah, it's just, it's a very, very special team. Yeah, for me, again, like, that'll be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, fun to watch, no doubt about it. We'll go over the statistics in a little bit. You would never told me that Saquon's going to run the ball over 20 times, end up with 50 yards. He was absolutely,
yeah, that was wild.
The Kansas City Chiefs. I was waiting because, the daughter's like, why can't he run so much? You go, they're playing good defense. Hold on. You know he's going to bust one. He never busted one, and it didn't even matter at that point. There were some big plays in that game. Jake Elliott, that first 48-yard field goal that sneaks inside the upright to give that 10-0 lead. That misses. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a different game. Chiefs get the ball about the 50. They're excited. But every time the Eagles kept shutting the door, and also not giving them short fields, the interceptions at the 2-yard line. Ooh, that's bad. You gave up on points. Eagles quickly got the momentum back there. You're punting the ball inside the 10-yard line. You're getting interceptions. Like the Zach Bond one was absolutely phenomenal. Where it's like, because again, I was telling the wife, like, hey, it's 17-0. If we hold them to a field goal in this drive, which means they still have to drive 65 yards, you go in the half, you're up 2 touchdowns, you're still golden. That interception happens, A.J. Brown touchdown, and it's a party, and you can enjoy halftime. And I live, obviously, in southern New Jersey. We're in Eagles neighborhood. That place was on fire at halftime when I walked the dogs outside. Everybody was outside screaming, going nuts, and riding ATVs up and down the street. Like, nobody cared about the halftime show, because the halftime show was, we are about to, like, plans to go to Broad Street last night is basically what the neighborhood was doing. And it was just so much fun to watch. But I want to set the table for this. New Orleans, Kevin, Joe, Sports Grid Network had a phenomenal week down there. It was interesting where the hotel where we were, right on the corner of Canal and Bourbon Street, right where everything happens, the walks, the lunches, the interviews there, how the week progressed, how much fun we had. That's also on the horizon. But again, the main focus, Philadelphia Eagles 40, the Kansas City Chiefs 22. It wasn't that close. And I'm still, like, today, like, once I get off the air and I go buy the merchandise and I can sit in, I can watch all the interviews, the parade, Kevin, not until Friday, which is Valentine's Day, which means you technically get 5 days to bask in the glory as an Eagles fan of winning it, because it sort of culminates with that parade on a Friday. It's going to be nuts in the city of Philadelphia. A lot more to get to here. Big things doing with the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. We'll be right back after this short break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it. By the way, Joe Lisi yesterday going after the third wide receivers on the Eagles, 17-1, puts $100. My goodness. I mean, well, how much did he end up with? Was it right off the bat? Because it's, by the way, Dotson, I thought, scored on that first one, which I would have loved because it would have added another touchdown to Jalen Hurts. But he ended up throwing for 2 touchdowns and the plus 180 cashed anyway. I was like, oh, it's going to be one of this these games at this point. But Jahan Dotson getting off early really made me laugh. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, both DeAndre Hopkins and Juju Smith-Schuster got over their number. Like, Schuster's number was really low as well, wasn't it? Did he get over his?
I only remember his first catch. There was a second one in there, wasn't there, right?
Yes.
Towards the back end of the game.
Because Hopkins was like 11 and a half. Schuster had 16. Was it that? I think it was his number. I think it was. How about that?
Probably.
Travis Kelce, 4 for 39. Come on now. Busting him up. Kareem Hunt, 3 for 9. Piran, 1 for 8. Pacheco, 3 of 7. And the Eagles. And by the way, how you knew that that game was just absolutely destruction, terror, and mayhem? The Chiefs were at that point down 3 touchdowns going like, we just can't pass every play because we'll get Patrick killed. Like the second and 11 runs, like down 21 to go for like 1 yard. I was laughing so hard because it was like Andy Reid was like, we can't do anything in this football game. So we might as well just try to put a drive together to see if we can actually put a drive together.
Well, that was kind of the thing is when you play the Eagles, you actually need to be able to run the football.
Yeah.
Because the secondary is so good and you need to be able to get yourself into manageable down distance. Donnie Mahomes couldn't complete a pass on 3rd and 3 throughout the whole game.
And how about the first two passes to like the Kelsey? They use like slam dunks, firing them into the ground. Not even close.
Like, this is kind of my thing, man. And I'm prepared to have any conversation anybody wants. But pretty much here are the options. Either everybody's going to agree with me that this Philadelphia Eagles team is one of the greatest of the last 25 years, or everybody's going to agree with me and there are actual problems with the Kansas City offense. Which, by the way, I think they're both real. Like, Mr. Bye Week, Donnie, they couldn't move the ball. And I'm not trying to beat up on Andy because I like Andy still, especially now that the Eagles beat him in a Super Bowl, right? Like, but all of the things, all of the crutches that defended the way they looked just got blown up, in my opinion. Because the only way they didn't get blown up is if you think that essentially the Eagles have six future Hall of Famers on the defensive side of the football. Like, that's the – pick one. He was atrocious. It's one of the worst quarter. Donnie, I took a screenshot. 2 minutes and 31 seconds left in the third quarter. 9 of 18, 61 yards, no touchdowns, two picks. That's – it's getting shut out.
It's wild. Like, just looking at some of the numbers here as I peruse through. And by the way, over 3.5 rushes, catches because Kenny Pickett was taking kneel downs. That's living right, man. That's absolutely living right.
I couldn't believe Shipley didn't get in there, though, for the back end. Like, the fact that it was Gainwell getting the carries with Pickett was a little surprising to me.
That was
one for the good guys.
Because it was over at that point. So, because we were talking like with Joe on the set yesterday, I was like, Shipley is not going to see any snaps in this game unless it's a blowout at this point. And he didn't need to at that point. But they were really good across the board. Like, look at the statistics, right? Like, the Eagles in a blowout. Well, Donnie, how did Jalen do? 221 in the air. How did they run on the ground? 3 yards per carry. How about their leading wideout? 69 yards. Like, damn, they got beat in that game, didn't they? They didn't even show up. And yet they absolutely destroyed Kansas City because they were working with short fields all the way through. Now, going back to our days in New Orleans, if the people were following along, watching some of the highlights over the weekend, Sports Grid did a great job. Like, we really enjoyed ourselves, had unbelievable interviews. The team from, you know, upper management to people working behind the scenes, the producers, the video people, to the front end talent, like in the interviews. I don't think it could have been a smoother week. And would it have been ruined if the Eagles lost? No, because that was before the game. And I almost had like a pact with myself, like, the enjoyment for a run for a fan is you want to play in the most amount of games you can possibly play. There's no other game after the Super Bowl. And from a content perspective, being an Eagles fan, getting to enjoy that 3 wins in the playoffs, which included an NFC championship at home, and then going to work the Super Bowl where the focal point is on your team in a game that's a 1-point spread, not a 17.5, like we're happy to be here. I thought it was phenomenal. We'll get Kevin's take on New Orleans, some fun stuff we did, and some interviews where K-Dub got in a little bit of trouble. Joe Lisi had the start. A little bit of rehashes. Your boy DRS turned into a fan for half of the videos here. Just the way we do it at the Sports Grid Network. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Parade on Friday. Love to see it. Eagles were a 1-point dog. Smash Kansas City. The game does go over the total. And I was rooting on some things with some of my bets here because I needed Kansas City to throw a touchdown pass. Got that in the second half. I didn't bet the over, but I told you guys I liked the over. Eagles won the game. You know, all that goes hand in hand. But we were in New Orleans and some of the, you know, the fun parts of it. For me, flight down, understand what that week is. Okay, I'm at the airport getting dropped off at 10 a.m. and I have, you know, burger and fries. I get on the plane and I get there. I'm not really too happy with my hotel room to start, but, you know, made the changes in the room. Everything got better as the week went on. Had no issues there. You guys saw me walking around New Orleans on the street, Bourbon Street. I tried to give the people, Kevin, in this one, like, you know, with the walk arounds so they can live it. I got a lot of positive feedback. Hey, man, thanks for keeping us updated and all this stuff. You know, you and Joe, we were having fun and, hey, let's go for a walk. We'll talk shop. We'll go live on this and that. So it was a great week overall, and I thought the interviews went well. But as I told you guys, too, like, But the time I got home, which was a great flight home, I had first class to ride home, didn't even need it because I could have took any seat on the plane that I wanted. But the ride home felt like it was like 15 minutes long, enjoyable. Yeah. Wife picked up at the airport, got the full sleep and relaxation on Saturday, got a nice bite to eat, and then we go up on Sunday. But New Orleans for you, like, how was it? Like, what were your favorite interviews that you did? Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, for as a crew, we were presented with just a more favorable schedule this year.
Oh,
and in that we weren't doing a live East Coast show on West Coast times. And I think all mm-hmm. of us were really appreciative of that kind of right away.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, for me, it's just like, you know, personally, like, I'm not active enough in my normal life. I'm trying to change that. And that always kind of, you know, slows me up on these weeks when we get out there.
Because I lost 3 pounds, Kev, by the way, in that Super Bowl. Last year, I lost 6. I lost 3 this year.
Yeah, I wasn't. So I like, again, like, I haven't been weighing myself. I wish I did, Donnie, because I imagine that, like, I probably did very well in that department myself. Yeah. But that wasn't, but, like, so it slowed me up a little bit early, but I actually found myself, like, feeling good as the week went on. Like, so going home, you know, me, Donnie, and Lisa all had to basically leave the convention center, get back to our hotel. We ended up walking. The city was bumper to bumper traffic.
Oh.
Last year on a Friday, I couldn't move. I wouldn't have been able to do, I would have had to sit in 45 minutes of traffic to get my bags. We walked. Now, listen, Donnie and I started the walk together. Yeah, I think he hit the hotel probably about 10, 15 minutes before I got there. But look, that's fine. So, you know, from that was just, I bring that up first because that was really important to me, is that I felt good. And then just kind of being with everybody was a blast, man. Like, I think people can probably tell through how we are on air, but we're all really close, like, legitimately very, very good friends.
Yeah.
And it kind of always makes, we're always going to have a good time. And this was no exception. The interviews, we had a lot of fun ones. Man, some of the guys were really great conversations. And, like, you know, I spoke to Spencer Rattler, and, you know, sometimes it's little things. Like, it was a fun interview and I enjoyed it, but you never know how these guys think. And he kind of got up and he goes, man, those were awesome questions. Like, really different from everything. He's like, I could have sat there for another 20 minutes. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, like, you know, I'm chewing up this guy's day, right? So for him to say that, like, that was very cool. You know, I got to speak to Tristan Wirfs, which was just an awesome thing. Is, you know, he's a Bucks superstar. I talk about it here. The fiance is a diehard Bucks fan. And there were just kind of these really cool moments out there, you know, getting to speak to some of these guys, Donnie, that made the whole thing just, really, really an incredible experience.
Yeah, because the good part with us is, you know, we have the layout of the week. And, you know, we're a host and we know how to do our job. That's why we're in the job that we have. But mm-hmm. I do think the people that come by the set generally understand, like, wow, okay, like, I'm going to give this guy 10 or 15 minutes. And it's not like, who do you like to win in the Super Bowl? Because there was a lot of interviews, Kevin. We never even made it to the Super Bowl because the conversation mm-hmm. was so good. And let me get your background here. Tell me about this. And I think the players enjoy that. Like, what are you going to eat? What's your favorite color? Do you like Patrick Mahomes? like I know with mine, like, you know, Bernie Kosar, like, he doesn't know me from Adam from Apple, and I'm bringing up what he's doing in 1981 at the University of Miami, and he's like, you know what, that was fantastic stuff here. And, like, you know, you get to the we barely made it to him getting to the Cleveland Browns. He was so, like, talkative about Miami 40 years ago. Same thing with Warren Sapp. Like, Warren Sapp's probably like, man, he's going to ask me about Colorado and, hey, Big Sapp, what do you want in the game? And I'm going back to 2002. You broke my heart. And he's breaking down play by play by play and jousting me like, yeah, Rondi Barber's still running down there. I can see it right now. Like that type of stuff I think they enjoy because most people, Kevin, they're grabbing them by the sleeve, sitting them down. Who's this guy you have here? Steve Thomas. Who do you play for? Like, the hosts have no idea what's going on with the interview. And we come prepared. And I think, like, back to your general point is, they're answering questions like, damn, like, this guy actually cares, and not just saying, like, well, what are you promoting, and do you like the Super Bowl, and how nice is your hotel? You know what I mean? That's the way it was.
Well, and I think one of the things that's kind of fun for us is, and I don't know about anyone who does whatever, but, like, we're very comfortable to put our own personal flair on these. Like, truly, and I told people this, a highlight moment was the Brian Westbrook interview. where basically I was able to just sit there, put a headset on,
yeah,
and watch Donnie talk to Brian Westbrook. That was incredible for me. You know, yeah. I told you this. I always felt it wasn't right that, you know, you've gone to three of the last four, right? Yeah. The gap was the Eagles made. Yeah. I was like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sending Donnie pictures, like, because I'm like, look, it's cool. It's Dawkins. But also, like, I hope this isn't upsetting, right? So to get back out there, we get the McNabb interview that we didn't get 2 years ago, right? Yeah. Like, those were the kind of things, man. And again, like, McNabb sat down. And I'm like, here with Donovan McNabb, you know, Eagles quarterback, play for some other teams. I don't remember any of that. Didn't happen. Doesn't count. Let's keep it rocking. And he was like, all right, this is going to be a good time.
Yep.
And that's kind of the thing, man, is way more often than not, those interviews end up a really good time.
Yeah. And I think everybody did feel like, again, we had funny parts of the interviews, you know, getting through this. They were long days. And you try to say, like, what is your normal work week? Like, when I was in L.A. and in Vegas compared to New Orleans, like the difference between the cities, like L.A., we were far away, but you weren't at a destination in L.A. We're at a hotel. We get bussed in right into the convention center. No local flavor, no appeal, no let's go to a restaurant around the corner. It was just do your job and go back. And then Vegas, which is a great city, it's just not a walking city. It's transit. You wouldn't even know if the Super Bowl was happening or not happening because Vegas is like that all the time. And boy, the walking was a lot. But New Orleans, where you know, we were going to stay out by the airport, moved our hotel, as I said, right on Canal Street, like right in the heartbeat of the city where you could walk to the convention. And by the way, like our flights on Friday, mine was at 6:40. Kevin's was like around 7 o'clock. Like we had everything planned out. Let's go get a bite to eat. We'll have plenty of time. And I got to tell you, I started getting a little bit panicked when we left the bistro after having another spaghetti and meatballs dinner. Oh, no. Look at the city. It's gridlocked. We have to walk back. Because I wasn't sure if that was like a 40-minute walk, to be honest, or they were power walking the day before, and it takes them 24 minutes. And I know you're a big guy. And it's like, well, Kevin's got to walk back. How long is that going to take? Mm-hmm. And he told me, like, all right, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Get back to the hotel or whatever. So we get back there. I change. Like, okay, a little deep breath here. We get out and try to order an Uber or a cab. It's gridlock on Canal. Like, the fact, and then it starts creeping in, like, it's so busy now. Are we going to struggle to get a cab? Now, granted, guys, we didn't cut this short. Like, we have an hour to get to the airport and get on our flights. Like, we had plenty of time. We track down a cab driver. We go 30 feet, and it's gridlock before you even get on to the interstate to get to the airport, which then again was gridlocked multiple times. We made it out fine, but I start to get a little bit stressed in that situation. Like, no, this can't be happening.
We, just to give you the chaos of this all, as this is, we're trying to call the Uber, sitting at a table on the street, Tracy McGrady.
Uh-huh.
Right. We cross the street. We finally hailed the cab. Was throwing our bags in. Chaos on the corner. Why? That's Brian walking around.
Holding court. Like,
It just, it's like, what is happening here? Luckily, our cab driver is straight out of the heart of New York City and got us where we need to go.
God bless the cab driver. God bless his family at this point. I put the tip on there already. Thank you so much for that. Good luck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Meals were good. Weather was good. Kev had his first Raising Cane's appearance with Kenny Pickett down there to Pleasant.
That's right.
So we were all over that city having some fun, but I did enjoy the weather, though. It's nice where, again, you get back, it's freezing cold temperatures, but down there, 75 to 80 every day, no rain in the forecast. And again, just let it. Did you get a chance to walk down Bourbon Street at all or no?
Like, minimally. Like, I didn't go far down it.
The one day where we walked one block and made it right? Where we
went
to work.
One night I went and ate with, with some of the producers, like an extra couple steps. But yeah, I didn't make it two blocks down Bourbon.
Yeah, I would have, again, not on working terms because every night I wasn't going to bed early, but I was probably laying down in bed 7:30, 8 o'clock because most of the days were earlier. Even some of the days, because we get there Monday or Sunday, and what a whirlwind Monday was. Like, hey, you know, it's going to be a later start. We got a long day. We were supposed to be down there around like 1 o'clock. What time were we down there? 9 o'clock at the latest, 8:45, which then had us a full day of getting everything set and ready. It wasn't a busy interview day, but just getting the things down. And then the bus ride over to the Superdome for a media night, which I get a kick out of that. Like, when we started, it's like, you know what? I hope we're going to media night because I just want to go to the Superdome. Like, I want to see what it's about. And I love, like, it's a little chaotic on the floor, specifically when the Eagles were there, because it's like, you can't even move on the one side. When the Chiefs came out, you could move around, but obviously so. It's like, okay, there's Mahomes, Kelce, you see him every year, Andy Reid, and, you know, no disrespect, but it's like a bunch of no-names all over the place. But just being in the Superdome, I thought was awesome. I just wish they had the whole field open and more spread out than sideline to sideline, to be honest.
Yeah, it was too jammed. I think there was just like an outpour.
Did you go to one before?
Philly. No.
No.
But I was at, but they have been to them before and they're like, it's not usually like this. Like this is a little, you know, the setup is off. Like, yeah, the whole thing was a little bit of a mess. But that was one of those things, like, what's very bizarre, but like Monday was easily my worst day in terms of probably my attitude, how I felt, like, because look, what we're doing now, right? What I'll do tonight on Game Time, what Donnie did this morning on the early line, like, that's how I view my job.
Yeah.
I am not good at, like, it's a weakness of, hey, Dallas, did you watch SpongeBob growing up? We're here with, right? Like, that's not me. And that it was starting to irritate me because I'm looking at all my favorite players and like, one, I'm like, I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
Two, I can't even like actually get like any word out here. So like that was throwing me off. And then like, it's like, yeah, now wait around for an hour and do the KC interviews. I was like, well, come on now. You know what I mean? I don't
bounce out of there. Let's get out. Let's be done. But, and then the Uber walk home to catch an Uber where the walk was longer than the Uber ride. Walking behind there. We got to come hit it in reverse in the Uber to come pick you up.
Fit you in there.
Me and Lisa, you're just laughing in there. What? You left them back there. No, we didn't leave them back there. Yep.
I'm telling you, it was so long. I finally got in that Uber. And I was in, like, it's like a tipping moment. I was in a terrible mood and I was going to be probably a bad guy and start yelling. And I think Lisi laughed into you laughing.
Yep.
And I looked to my left and the driver's laughing and I went, whatever. Like, we're good here.
Because you weren't in there yet. And Lisi kept telling the cab driver, like, big man, he's a big guy back there. He's walking. Just see if you see him back there. See if you see him. He's like, okay, I see him. So it's not even going back down the street. We probably moved 10 feet, but he made it a point to hit like reverse to come back a little bit more to come get you. You sit in there, stuffed in the front seat, and Lisi's already like laughing out loud in the back seat because he knows you're angry and he loves the fact that you're angry.
Yes.
And had to walk that Uber. That was part of it. It was fantastic.
Yeah. There was another, man, I will say everyone almost killed me. There was one day I was so tired and I just had the giggles and like Lisi's kind of style of joking was just hitting a little different this week for me.
Yeah.
We were trying to do a pre-recording at the end of the day. So we come out segment number one. I had
a cough. Tuesday? Is that why we were delirious?
No, it was Thursday, Donnie.
Was it?
Wow. Yes. It was Thursday, right? That's when your head was helium and everything.
Oh, my. That was killing me, man.
Yeah, Donnie almost ruined the whole thing. I hit a cough into a laugh. I go, sorry. And then I turn to Donnie and Lisa, go, you two starting right away.
That made no sense.
Yep. It was all my fault, but I needed someone to blame. We come in for the second take and I'm crying, laughing. I ruined a third take, and you know, our boss, like, that's it, everybody go home. And like, Don's like, no, we're getting this done. And I just had to I close my eyes to bring it in. I just had to pass it off. Like, I almost like had to like get angry in my head. I had to like just flip it a little bit, and we were getting through it. But then Donnie almost broke us right out of the last one.
Telling, like, This was one of those, because, you know, like, I have my one meal of the day, and there's a window that opens. We were so far past that window. Like, I feel good. And then it hits you, like, at once. Like, we had to stop. So, like, my head is going to explode if we don't get out of here. Like, I'm looking at, like, my, like, helium head. Yeah. I'm already up in the rafters right now. Like, I'm gone at this point here. Mm-hmm. What was the day you almost fell asleep on a take? Which day was that?
That was it. That was also
first
that.
Day? Wow.
That, no, yeah, because Donnie, I had to turn off to stop laughing. So I'm being serious. Like, I was like, all right, you got to just get like a little upset. You got to get a little upset. And then I started to get real mellow. And I'm telling you, we were in a segment that if I let it take over, you would have heard in the headsets.
We would have left you there too. We would have left you asleep and we had a blast.
That was the Thursday night where I was asleep probably before you. Thank like you. And got like 10 hours.
Yep. Kev got the penthouse suite overlooking Canal. Me, I was in the dungeon. We were in the same floor, but I was in the dungeon. Yes, he had the nicest room out there. That's why he got charged in a black Amex card on his rated room there. We'll be right back. Much more right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here on a fun Monday, celebration Monday. Final football game of the season, the Eagles run over the Kansas City Chiefs, which then, again, we're going to have time this week to look forward to next year, but still staying in the moment at this point. Did you enjoy the halftime show, Kevin?
It was, man, I thought it started out slow. I thought it started to pick up, but I thought ultimately the performance of Not Like Us is... It has to be one of the more memorable. Like, I think it'll stand the test of time, if that will. Like, that was a real moment. And again, it is totally crazy when you think about what is being said in that moment.
Yeah.
But, man, like, him teasing it early on in the performance, like, almost playing into this idea of people like, man, can he actually perform?
Is he allowed to?
Like, yeah. To then it end with the entire crowd singing along in, you know, to the lyrics.
I looked at Linda right away and go, there's not a single Philadelphia Eagles fan in that building and or Kansas City Chiefs fan has any idea what this song is. There's no way they sang along with it that loud. That was obviously that 1,000% had to be piped in it.
Oh, wow. I don't agree. I mean, I think we've seen some videos. I thought we heard crowd reaction when they teased it. Here's the take that I said when you were like, I don't like this. And
yeah,
this felt like the first time in a long time that instead of taking with a legacy artist, they went, we'll take the current,
yes,
you know, top star.
Yes.
And that was something different, right?
Yeah.
Again, I understand. I'm not going to sit here and argue over it at all, right? But
yeah,
it was, again, so somebody who doesn't think that was piped in, that was just a wild, wild moment.
Because you could get a lot of that because I am a hip-hop kid that I grew up as. Like the one in L.A., one, maybe the best halftime show I've ever seen. I enjoyed myself all the way through, like mega star after mega star, letting it rip, so much fun. Where the Super Bowl to me is usually about iconic performances. Like even heck, like the one in New Jersey was Bruno Mars. He was fantastic at halftime. Like legendary performances, the biggest names. And I understand how big Kendrick Lamar's name is, but like my wife, same age as me, like we're pretty hip on stuff. I don't know any Kendrick Lamar songs other than the one that he sang, which again was They Not Like Us. But even the wife doesn't even know that song. And I know if I were to watch the game with my dad and my mother, they'd be like, I never heard of this, but they know Snoop Dogg, they know Dr. Dre, because they've just been iconic for, you know, 30 and 40 years at this point. So I wonder where they pivot next year on that. I'm not saying it was bad because it's not my type here, but like there wasn't anything crazy, like outlandish with the performance. Like, oh, look at this set. I just thought it was underwhelming for a Super Bowl.
Did you pick up, maybe you saw through Twitter on what the, because you remember they were teasing a big surprise, like what the big thing was from the performance.
Yeah.
Serena Williams.
That was a big thing. Like, I didn't, so you know what's funny about that too? She danced on the screen and Linda's like, didn't even pick it up. I go, I think that was Serena. She's like, who, the tennis? Like, it didn't even like hit.
So that I think is a very, again, it's seemingly Serena and Drake had some beef. I don't know. Yeah. Again, like I'm not all, but I know that like Kendrick had referenced that within the song. So like Serena, it is so wild that Kendrick Lamar hit this different level of stardom, which he had to have, right, Donnie, in order to have this halftime show of kind of just having this beef with Drake. And like, what was the big moment? Well, he brought out another person who hates Drake in Serena Williams. Like, you know, usually it's like, oh, we have like 100 people kind of coming out or different things. Like, it was, again, not liking it, I think, is a totally understandable take because it was a very unique approach or different approach. Unique isn't the right word. It was just a very different approach.
I knew he brought another guy out. I had no idea. Like, we didn't know who that guy was. So they asked like this morning, Mustard. I think Joe told me. Yeah, like no idea. Like usually when you're bringing out guests, it's like, oh, there's Bruce Springsteen as a guest, or there's Mick Jagger, there's Prince as a guest, there's Madonna comes out. Yes, it was like, okay, like it's like a small party that I'm not involved in. But enjoyable because the Eagles were winning, and it's like, yeah, this is great, and I'll watch it. Like, I took dogs up and down the street, and I came back to stud and had the Super Bowl performance on yet. So I saw it in entirety, but it's just, when I think of, like, the Super Bowl, and when I sent out that tweet, like, iconic, like, the names on that last 20 that we went over last week before he left were amazing. And again, he is a big name, but we'll see where they go next. Maybe it's Taylor Swift because the Chiefs won't be back, and she can, you know, settle on that. But there we go. The Monday. It's in the books. It's Moneyline. On the Wheels of Steel. Everything looking good over here from JP. Down the right side, Kevin Walsh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.